Let the people of God say, shout it louder, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe our pastor is with us in the spirit. Pastor Obi is with us in the spirit, praying with us this morning. Hallelujah. So I count it a great privilege to share the word of God this morning and trusting the Holy Spirit to help us, because no one can do this except it's given to him from above. We rely on him this morning that the word of God will come alive. Amen. Please join me by reading from the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. As we are opening, we just want to thank God for what he did last week in our midst. From Monday to Thursday, it was special. It was great. And the presence of the Lord was just heavy. And God was meeting the needs of his people. So we just bless the name of the Lord. We return all thanks and glory, honor to his name for what he did. And we, like Oliver Twist, we yearn for more. We need more. More of him. More of his presence. More of his glory in our midst. Amen. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. I know we are familiar with this story. We've read it. We thought. We prayed. We preached from this passage several times. But there's just a phrase that came to me during the week. A phrase. I never planned for that. But as I was just ministering, it just came to me. And the Lord is amplifying that in my heart. I believe God that God is going to use it. When I come to that phrase, I will let us know. Genesis 22 from verse 1 to 8. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the 2 of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the 2 of them went together. Emphasis is on verse 7 and 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, as usual, we are going for a sacrifice. We're going to do a burnt offering. We have all that is necessary. We have the wood. Well, I just mentioned 2 things here. We have the wood. We have the fire. And to do burnt offering, must have rope. We have the rope. We have everything needed for the burnt sacrifice. But where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? There is something missing. And so the topic this morning is something missing in our service. That is the topic. Is something missing in our service or in our worship? So it's like Isaac was telling his father, something is missing. We've done this again and again, but this is different. We have the wood, we have the fire, we have everything. Where is the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Something is missing. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. An observation made by Isaac unto Abraham, his father, on the way to Mount Moriah, which later on became Mount Zion, where the temple was built. The temple in Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion. That mount, Zion. So the mountain that God showed to Abraham was Mount Moriah, became Mount Zion. And there it was to offer Isaac as a burnt sacrifice. As a burnt sacrifice. Isaac noticed something was missing, and Abraham turned his attention to the only one who can provide for that which is missing. Is something missing in your sacrifice, in your worship of God? Is something missing in our service, in our worship to God? And this that Isaac pointed at, there's no way the sacrifice or the worship can be complete without a lamb. It will just be an ordinary worship, ordinary sacrifice, because the absence of a lamb means it's not a sacrifice, it's not a worship. There must be a sacrifice, the lamb. Thank God. He gave us the lamb. Hallelujah. He gave us Jesus. And John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. And that is what is happening in the world today. There are so many people who are doing worship, sacrifice, service, but they don't have the lamb. There is something missing in their worship. There is something missing in the midst of whatever the religiosity. And without that lamb that was sacrificed, the sacrifice is not complete. It's just ordinary worship that can go nowhere. Christ must be there. Christ must be the center of worship. And that's this morning, as we're worshiping the Lord, we are just exalting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, because he is the center of everything. He's the reason why we are here. He's the reason why we gather together today to worship and celebrate his goodness. He happened to be the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. And because he was slain for us, we are not entering into any worship, into any service without the lamb. There is a retrospective looking back at what he did on the cross of Calvary. And each time we stand before him, what he did is brought forward. The blood is speaking. He spoke. That blood spoke yesterday. The blood is speaking now. The blood will keep on speaking until rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But apart from that, that's just the background. But there are certain things that we must look at personally and as a body so that we challenge ourselves to the level that God wants us to be. We know that the lamb has been slain. We know that Jesus is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He was dead, he's alive forever. But then, are there some things that people observe in my life, in your life, that is absent, and yet we are going for worship? Oh, he's a Christian. He has a Bible. He has a Christian name. They go to Mount Zion, but something is missing. What is that is missing in my life, that is missing in your life, without which it looks as if our worship, we know with Christ is perfect, but then with these things that are absent, there is a question mark. People ask, he's a pastor, he's an evangelist, he's a Christian, he goes to that church. He prays. He reads the Bible. She's well known as one of the, in this area, in this community, she's well known. But there is something missing. This, I just rely on the Holy Spirit to interpret into our heart, but I'm just going to mention very quickly three things. It's not exhaustive. That's not the end. It's endless list. You can put yours there. Whatever you know that is missing. And if you don't know anything that is missing, you need to tell the Holy Spirit, what is missing in my life that tends to make my service not complete? What is it? I put the first thing here as change. Everybody say change. Or transformation. Change. You see, our walk, W-A-L-K, must match our confession. Our walk must align with what we confess that we are. If Jesus is the Lord, and if he's the Lord of our lives, then our walk must be in alignment with what he came to preach, the purpose of his coming. He came that we might be changed. He came that we might be brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom that he built, the kingdom of his dear son, the Father, bringing us out of that darkness into this kingdom of Jesus. Now, we know the scripture very well. Let me just read out. If we can put it on the screen, fine. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Then it says, whole things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, to the man, the woman, the brother, the sister that is in Christ, you know, it's a new creature. It's a new being. This person is not the usual being. Something has happened. There's a transformation. There is a transformation of this being. And it's not only talking about the change in the heart. It's also talking about the change of position, the change of environment. No more in the kingdom of darkness, and now in the kingdom of God. He cannot talk like others. He cannot talk like he used to talk. Gossip and sitting in the council of the ungodly, doing what they do at work, do what they are doing in the school, do what they do. The majority, you know what they do. So now that there is a transformation, we cannot. It's not because, well, we are told in the church, don't do it. No. The master, your Lord, your Savior, by the presence of the Spirit of God in you, is telling you, he instructs you, you are now a new creature. You cannot do what you used to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of our time, I want us to dwell. There are two scriptures I want us to quickly read now. One is so long. Let's start with the shorter one. John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. John 1, 11 to 13. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. He gave the right or the authority or the power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. As many as received him, to them he gave the power, gave the legal right to become children of God. We're coming to something very important in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it's a long one, but I want us to see something there, and if this is the only thing I can share, we stop there. Therefore, from verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Like the song we just, the choir rendered, you know, he conquered death. Jesus had to come in human flesh in order to conquer death, sin. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if Christ is in you, you have a quickening spirit. The Spirit of Christ quickens you, makes you to be alive, to be conscious of God. He prompts your heart from time to time away from that which is fleshy and carnal. He prompts you toward God. He does connect you with He who is the source of life. That's what he's talking about. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, He will do that. Amen. And if Christ is in us, it will quicken us toward righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, verse 11, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, we also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. I'm going to stop at verse 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Everybody say adoption. By whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, there is a word there that I want us to look at. Verse 15. Adoption. Adoption. We know we are conversant with that here in America, where a couple, we go and adopt a child for themselves. Then there are some requirements. You know, what will be required by the government or by the authority. If you are going to adopt this boy or this young girl, these are the requirements. And, you know, upon agreeing on the requirement, there will be documents that will be signed by both parties. Now, signing those documents gives the legal authority to the new parents. When that document is signed, then this child automatically belongs to this family. From that day, number one, there's a change of name, the last name. There is a change of position. There is a change of status. There is a change, you know, of environment. That child leaves where she has been living. She has to go with the adopted parents because there have been a legal document. Legal document. That is a legal adoption. It's a legal process of becoming a child. Becoming a child of God or becoming, you know, a child to somebody. When that happens, then legally, the new parents have the right to be in charge as parents. And that child from that day bears the name of that family. And whatever that family, you know, has or have rather, that is what he himself will adopt himself to. All right. Now that's what happened in the spirit realm. We were adopted. How come adoption? Were we not children of God? No. We're children of God by creation. All right? Yes. Then we strayed away from God. We went away from God through Adam. We lost it. We gave our right to the devil through Adam. So Jesus had to come in the flesh. It must take man to defeat the devil because it was man that lost the glory. So it must take man to take back the glory and then bring man who have been strayed away, who have been cut off from God, and bring this prodigal son, all of us together now in Adam, bring us back to God. So it's like we are adopted. There is a legal document that was signed through the blood of Jesus. So the day Jesus died and the blood touched the ground, Jesus said, "It is finished." That was the signature. He signed it. He willed every one of us unto God the Father back again. And that's what he's saying in the book of Romans. He said, okay, if, look at it. He said, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Don't forget that Jesus happened to be the only begotten of the Father. He's the firstborn. Is the one originally that had been the son that was begotten, that became flesh, God that became flesh. Now that we are adopted into the family of God, a legal document was signed when Jesus said it is finished. That puts you in the family of God. That makes you unique, separate, different. And then we are not only different, in a different environment, bearing a different name, we are expected to behave because we have the royal blood running in us. We are expected to behave as royal people. Hallelujah. So if we live less than the expectation of royalty, people will see you and say, he goes to church, he reads the Bible, she is a Christian, so to say, but there's something missing. Something missing, because what they expect of you, what they expect of me, is not seen. Just as Isaac saw something missing in this trip, in this so-called sacrifice we're about to have, something is missing, and if I don't draw the attention of my father, we just travel 3 days for nothing. And Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt sacrifice. There are certain things this morning that we must lay on the altar. When we are going to pray, I'm going to ask Apostle Kofi to help us play that song. I love it so much. We are going to use it to wait on the Lord to pray. I lay my life on the altar. Let the fire fall. There's something in us that must crave after God, that must crave after his image, the DNA of God inside of us. So if the DNA of God, the gene of God inside of us is contrary, or rather our outward appearance or attitude or what we do is quite different from the gene in us, something is wrong. If we still dwell
in the council of the ungodly, we still bite, we still show all those kind of tongue wagging and everything that the people in the world do, then there is a question about your Christianity. There's a question about your Christianity. You say, well, you see, God knows I'm a human being. God knows that is where you need to go to him. Abraham said to Isaac, God himself, because he has no power to produce any lamb in that place. But he knew God told him, go and sacrifice Isaac. And if Isaac is saying, we need a lamb, and I know inside of me, Abraham, God said I should sacrifice Isaac, I'm not going to tell him, I'm sacrificing you. But God will do what? Provide. God, he knew, number one, that Isaac is coming back with him because he prophesied in verse 5. He told the servants, stay here, I am the lad. We'll go yonder, we will do what? Worship, and we shall come back. Because he believed that this great God who gave me Isaac when my body was dead, the womb of my wife Sarah was dead, he gave me Isaac. Then, that is nothing too difficult for him. You see, Abraham so much reverenced God that nothing will stand between him and this God. He was ready to give anything God wants. So I'm going to give Isaac. I will surrender the Isaac. And I know in his heart that even when I slay him or kill him, God will raise him up immediately because he prophesied to the lads, to those servant of his. I and the lad, we are going yonder to do worship. We are coming back. Your word. So this morning, there's something you cannot do by yourself. That is missing. You know you can't do it by your strength, by your power, by your ability. And that is why you must see him who is the helper. He alone who can transform you. He alone who can fix what is missing. He alone who can, you know, bridge whatever the gap and make something unique from your life, from my life. Amen. We have been adopted. We've been adopted. We are in the family of God. Well, there is what theologians, there are some biblical words they use. When Jesus died and he said it is finished, whoever believes in him automatically is adopted into the family of God. But then there are other things that follows. I don't want to use those big words. You know, think about just if this young man or this young boy rather, this young girl that has just been adopted, maybe from a wretched family, from a sickly society, now he's brought to America. Think about the joy in the heart of this little boy. It's no more, you know, in the family where no food, there is danger, they are not sure of tomorrow, sickness everywhere. It's just been brought out of that endless problem, you know, uncertainty, to a place that it can talk about certainty. There is joy. There's abundance. So what will happen? You will see the joy in the heart of that boy. So theologians call that, there will be what is called regeneration. You know, when there is a change in the heart. All right? Because you experience the change environment, the forgiveness of sin brings joy. So the heart is now regenerated. There is something flooding the heart. The joy of God fills the heart. And then we move again from there because you are now dwelling in the household of God, in that new house, in that new environment. What they do is what you do. The language they speak there is what you are speaking. You learn to speak that language. You learn to do what they are doing there. And because you are doing that on a daily basis, you find yourself being conditioned not by force, but by what is practiced in that home. The Christendom, the body of Christ. That is what is called sanctification. You're now being set apart because you are no more there. You are now here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not enough to just say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. There are certain things that must not be seen again in us. Because they are not compatible with where you are. The new place where you are. The language they speak there, the kind of clothes they wear there, the kind of people they mingle with, is quite different from where I'm coming from. Everything must be changed. My language must change. My dressing must change. My thinking must change. The food I eat must change. The kind of people I mix with must change. Why? Because I've just been adopted from where I was. Suffering, under oppression, under lack, under sickness, to a new place where everything is free. Hallelujah. That is the joy that must flood our heart because Jesus did it for us. And if you are still struggling, I told lie yesterday, this thing, God, you understand, you know, I can't just do without it. You know, this office, if you tell them the truth, they will oppress you and they give you the worst of all job. So I better just play the thing. It better be wise. That's not the language of the new environment. You got to drop it. You say, I don't know how. That is why you have to go to He who alone can provide. Hallelujah. Abraham said, I can't do it, but God will provide Himself a lamb for the sacrifice. What is missing? God will fix. What is mixing in your life, in my life, that people look at and say, why is he still all this wife? No praying, singing, no preaching, teaching, everything. And nothing has changed. This morning, we must go to him and say, Lord, there are some things missing and I cannot fix them. But Lord, I know God will provide for himself a lamb. That which is missing, you will provide. There will be a way out. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. The second thing, okay, still have time. Second thing we talk so much about this, that if it's missing in our life, we are just religious. We are born again, yeah, but then if we don't have it, we can't please him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but for without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever must come to God must believe that he is, and there is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, we've heard much about it, various version of faith, you know, faith talking about how I'm able to connect with God, believe in God. Let's just take the life of Abraham. And then we bring it back to where we are. Here is a man God called when he was 75 years old. And God said, wake up. I'm going to send you to a place. Just wake up. You know, I'm separating you. I'm, calling you for a new journey. Leave your kindred, leave your father's house, leave everything you have to the place I will show you. And then he packed up everything. The day was packing. The day was, he called the U-Haul. In those days, they used camel and all these things to carry their luggages and whatever. And as he was carrying all these things and they brought out all these sheep and everything and his family, people were asking, you are changing your residence? So where are you going? I don't know. You don't know where you're going and you're packing? The God Almighty told me to leave, but I don't know where I'm going. But I know, surely, God cannot be mistaken. God cannot lie. He will definitely show me as he has told me. That is faith. Taking God at his word. Even when it looks or it sounds senseless, useless, you are not able to connect it. But if God has spoken it, if God has said it, we have to come to that level of believing. Now, this is what we battle with every day because we see the practical aspect. When God is saying, trust me, this sickness is already cured. And the symptom is still telling you, right? It's just like yesterday. What you experienced yesterday is still the same thing. And you battle with it. Now, the symptom is what? Because they are, it's so physical. It's something we are seeing, something that is so practical. And it's not abstract. So now to believe God's word or to believe what he has spoken, oftentimes we battle in our mind. And that is why we need God's help. if faith is missing in our worship, it's not complete. We have a problem here, the problem of, you know, reconciling the word of God with what our mind is telling us. We must submit to the word of God. Amen. We have to trust God even when you have no answer to all the questions. We have so many questions. Why is this happening to me? Why must it be me? Why is it only me that is, you know, relieved of my job? Why is it that it's only me that I've not gotten the answer? Why is it, with everything God has spoken, why is it that I've not received? This is 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Why is this still the same? Oh, ask Abraham. It was 25 years. To tell you that Abraham was not, he wasn't an angel. He wasn't somebody that just jumped from the other planet. He reasoned like a human being. At the time, he told God, God, everything you told me, you said my seed shall inherit the land. Out of my seed, you are going to bless the nation of the earth. How come? I'm still waiting. Is it Eliezer, my servant, that will inherit all my property? God said, okay, come out. You need something visible. You want to see something practical. And God showed him the stars. Can you count? Begin to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep on counting. He lost count. God said, okay, if you cannot, I'm going to so much bless your seed, your descendant. You are going to be much more than the stars of heaven. Now, he's not only talking about this physical descendant only, also the spiritual. Praise the Lord. Today we have millions of believers. We have millions who are Jews. Hallelujah. Now, because he saw that and God spoke to him even when he was shaky. So if your faith is shaky, it's okay, it's natural. If you ask question, why is it only me that is going through all this problem? After all, Sister J, I've never seen her. She has never, at any time, I've never seen her morose her face. I've never seen that brother. Yeah, you know, it's all smile. It's as if God is answering our prayer and, you know, God is not answering mine. Why is my prayer delayed? Why is God not doing what he said? Why is it taking him so long a time? It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to even question him. God, why is it me? Must I go through all this? But when you ask question, make sure you wait for answer. Yeah, when Abraham asked those questions, God gave him answer. God will give you answer. But faith is trusting him, believing him, even when the fig tree did not blossom. Even when the fig tree did not blossom. Because if he said they are going to blossom, and for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 2, 3, 5, and no sign of blossoming, if he says so, that, you know, there's going to be the blossoming of the fig tree, wait for it, because it's going to happen at the right time. And it's going to happen at the best of the times. Because when he does it, he's going to glorify God, and he's going to elate you. And people will hear the testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham set out when he did not even know where he was going. Abraham, every day, the Bible tells us, if you read the book of Hebrew, he was waiting. He was looking for a city whose builder was God, whose foundation was laid by God. And that kept him moving. When doubt comes up, following day, there's a city that God is leading me to. There is a city whose foundation, whose builder is God. I'm going to get there. That, again, helped you for that day. You need to live one day at a time. Don't live 20 years from now. I'm not saying don't think and plan for tomorrow. But what I'm telling you is that problem will come, doubt will come, challenges will come one day at a time. And that's what Jesus said. He said, don't think about tomorrow. Don't begin to, you know, crack your head about tomorrow's problem. Want to solve tomorrow's problem today. He said, look, today has enough problem. Take care of today. So, lay everything before the Lord today. That psalm says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So when you commit your way before the Lord,
He will bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I have the third one. I'm not going to mention that because of our time. But the question of what I want us to begin to think about now, what is it that is missing that needs to be fixed? And the absence of that which is missing obviously is known to the outsider. It's known to your family members. It's known in the body of Christ. It's known by the devil. Especially the enemy of righteousness will point at you. Oh, are you not attending Mount Zion? Mount Zion Church? Yeah, I think you attend Mount Zion Church. That church that prays, they praise a lot. They pray a lot of prayer there in that place. But how come this issue is not yet resolved? You are going to pray about that this morning. I'm trusting the Lord to have my partner. I've waited, I've prayed, I've fasted. I don't know why there's delay. And people are looking at you, your age, your time, your everything, the prayer. I want to tell you, God is the fixer. That which is missing, that will make your worship complete. God will fix it today. Amen? Oh, I'm looking for admission. God is the fixer. Amen? At work, I don't know why they single me out. It's always persecution. They give me the worst of all jobs. They're trying you. They want to see if they can provoke you to anger. And you know, yesterday you told them Jesus is Lord. So they want to do everything to provoke you and see if that Jesus you said is your Lord. If you are actually living according to the principle that Jesus stood for. Bring it before the Lord. Say, Lord, there's something missing. I need patience. I need endurance. I need to endure and persevere. But Lord, I can't do this by myself. Abraham told his son, God himself will provide the lamb for sacrifice. It's only God that will fix those things. But you have to do the talking. You have to do the fixing of your heart to him this morning. As we sing that song, I lay all on the altar. Let your fire fall. Begin to talk to the Lord. Is there anything that is missing? Do I have anything in my life that is missing? Yeah, I am a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. Is Jesus ever there? Do I ever consult with him? Do I ever believe in, trust him for the leadership? Trust him for making ways, fixing those things that looks impossible? Do I trust him even though his word is contrary to what I'm passing through? Even though it looks as there's no reality, there's no sense in believing what he said. Can I still trust him? Can I still rely on his word? Is my life contradicting what the scripture says I am? Says you are a royal priest, you are a holy nation, a peculiar people. Lord, I bring before you this morning those things that are missing in my life. I lay them on the altar, Lord. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Purify my heart. Jesus.
I lay my life at your altar. Let your fire fall to burn everything that is not of you. Burn everything that is not of you. I lay,
Lord Jesus,
my life at your altar.
Tell him, talk to him.
that your fire falls.
It's the only God that can fix it.
To burn everything.
Let the fixer fix it.
That is not of you.
Yes, Lord.
Burn everything.
Yes, Lord.
That is not of you. Let your fire fall.
Jesus.
Let your fire fall.
Yes, Lord.
To purify
Jesus.
My spirit, man.
Yes, Lord.
Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Purify my spirit, man. Oh, I live my life at your altar. Let your fire fall,
Lord Jesus.
To burn everything that is not
of you.
Burn everything that is not of you.
Whatever is not of the kingdom, whatever is not associated, connected with the kingdom of God, that is there, that you can see now in your life, that is the work of the enemy. So you're going to have the fire of God to consume. As you are on the altar before the Lord, ask the fire of God to consume and destroy anything that is not of God. Anything that is making you to slide back, making you to doubt, making you not to concentrate, making you not to see the word of God as God has laid it down, ask the fire to consume them, destroy them this morning. Sickness, ask the fire of the Holy Spirit to consume it this morning. Failure, delay. Ask the fire of the Holy Spirit this morning to consume and destroy anything that is not of God. Whatever God has not written, whatever God has not mandated to be part of you, that is joining with you. Who is joining with you? Ask the Lord, Lord, detach me, Father, from any parasite, any strange object, strange personality joining with me. Let your fire separate us. Let your fire separate us. Let your fire deal with them this morning, this afternoon. And Lord, that which is missing, fix it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yes, this individual that you'll be having this is unusual. I've never heard of anybody having headache at the center of his or her head. But this headache comes up right there at the center of your head. The fire of the Holy Spirit will consume such this moment. That headache that comes up center of your head. Fire of the Holy Spirit this morning is consuming and destroying whatever that symptom, whatever it is, whatever the symptom that comes up
in such a way, whatever that is pointing at this morning, God is uprooting the root of it, the cause of it, the problem. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Purify my spirit, man. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Spirit, man, I live my life at your altar.
Yes, Lord. Shayala katabo shayale baba huli.
Let your fire fall to burn everything.
Thank you, Lord.
That is not of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Burn everything that is not of you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. We worship you. Just as Abraham had to detach himself from those two servants, there is limit to where you can go with me. You can't go beyond this place. Stay here. I and the Lord, we go yonder. We shall worship and we'll come back to you. Whatever is following you to worship that ought not to be there, those that are journeying with you, that are supposed to be detached because they are going to constitute distraction, they are going to constitute barrier when they come to the place of your connection with God, service, worship of God. Abraham told his servant, stay here. You're going to tell every problem, every situation, every impossibility, those things that have been following you all this while, and they tell you, look, we have been mandated, we are just servants, but we must follow you wherever you go. You have to speak the word at this moment. Speak the word. Detach yourself. Every baggage, every carryover from my father's lineage, from my mother's lineage, enough is enough. You cannot go any further. I have to go further to worship. I must move further to worship God. No distraction. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I speak your word into the life of your children, into the life of my brother and my sister today. Lord, and I decree by the word of the Lord that every baggage, every carryover, situation, circumstances, oh God, that have been following your children, all this while, monitoring spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, today is the end of you following the people of God. They have been called to worship. It was Abraham that was called and his son Isaac. Lord, let every baggage, every unauthorized entity from this very moment, we separate your people from them. We separate your people from anxiety. We separate your people from fear. We separate from people, your people from delay. We separate your people from blood pressure. Amen. We separate your people from delay not having their partner. Amen. We separate your people, oh God, from curse or curses. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb, Jesus said it is finished. Amen. Therefore, I pronounce that because Jesus said it is done, receive your victory. Amen. Receive your victory. Receive favor. Receive breakthrough. Because you must enter into that place. Abraham told them, I am going. I will come back with the Lord. Every area where you have been afraid to speak the word. Every area where you have been thinking, suppose I say it and it never happens. I rebuke fear, doubt. I rebuke anxiety. I rebuke everything that tends to frighten you. In the name of Jesus, receive sound mind. Receive boldness. In the name of Jesus. Walk into your victory. Maybe Satan was even telling Abraham, you believe God will raise him up. Suppose you kill him and never rose up again. Suppose you kill him, you put the knife on his neck, and Isaac is thoroughly and truly dead, never to rise. He said, I still believe God. That is God. The faith to start beyond every doubt, every fear. Receive this hour. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that God will begin to work supernaturally in your heart. Amen. You will see beyond the ordinary. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I speak to that headache. You stranger, you work of the enemy, you have no portion in that place. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Amen. I speak life. I speak healing upon your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I connect every sister with their husband. I connect every brother with their wife. In the mighty name of Jesus, every student, receive the favor of God. All that you need to succeed, the finance you need, the favor you need, the wisdom you need, receive it in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the word of the Lord that you will not die, you will live. You will live to declare the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. This new season, we are moving forward. You move with the people of God. Thank you, Father. At the point of Abraham emptying himself, at the point of Abraham tampering with his future, Isaac, his hope, there was divine intervention. May the Lord intervene in your case. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Abraham was never put to shame. You will never be put to shame. Amen. Even as you risk it, you believe it, and you put the word of God to test, it shall work for you. Amen. At work, it shall work for you. Amen. In your home, it shall work for you. Amen. In your school, it shall work for you. Amen. In the public, it shall work for you. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise and honor. That which is missing, today, Lord, you fix it. Amen. Today, you fix it. Amen. And Lord, Abraham was able to say on that mountain, because he pronounced it by faith, Jehovah Jireh. Amen. You will experience Jehovah Jireh. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We pray this, believing you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let the people of God say, if you believe it, shout a louder amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.